Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Let's pray together. God, teach us the difference between healthy division and destructive division, and show us what unites us. Amen. Has St. John's ever had a church split? And by that I mean a whole group leaves and forms another church. Does anybody know if that's ever happened? Okay. I couldn't find any history of it, but I do know that y'all have had a few good arguments in this place. I've heard about those. Author Tom Rainer surveyed the reasons why churches argue and sometimes split, and he made a list of 25, and I'm going to share just a few of them with you this morning. One church argued over the appropriate length of the minister's beard. We are not going to have that problem here, okay? Another church had a dispute over whether or not the worship leader was required to wear shoes during the service. So, Harry, are you wearing shoes? Okay, not a problem for us. Harry is wearing shoes. There was a heated discussion over whether or not a dirt devil vacuum cleaner could be used in the sanctuary. Now, our vacuum cleaner has a monster sticker on it. I'm just warning you in case that's a problem for anybody. A church actually split because one member hid the vacuum cleaner from other members. They actually split over the vacuum cleaner. Now, if anybody wants to see where our vacuum is, we will all show you. We'd be so thrilled. John knows where the vacuum is, don't you, John? You know how to use it, too. There was another division over what kind of coffee to be served at coffee hour. Half the church wanted Folgers, and half wanted Starbucks, and they actually split. A whole group left the church. Now, I have to warn you all, if we have that problem here, I like Starbucks. I'm just letting you know now. Another church had a disagreement over the label potluck because they didn't feel the word luck was an appropriate word in a faith community. So they suggested that we call it pot blessing. And I think that's a great idea, because if we had a pot blessing here and invited the community to bring their pot and I could bless it, I think we would have a totally unique crowd here and maybe kind of a mellow service. I think it'd be fun. And one church fought about whether or not it was appropriate to serve deviled eggs. But I think as long as you also have angel food cake, I mean, wouldn't that be a balanced diet? I think that would work. We could do that. Now, these divisions and arguments are funny and ridiculous, right? But there were people on both sides of all of those issues that felt really, really strongly about that, whatever it was. And Jesus, I think this morning, kind of harshly, would say to them, "You hypocrites, can't you see the present time? Can't you see what's happening around you? What is truly important?" Because you know, it's never about the coffee. It's never about the deviled eggs. There's always a deeper spiritual reason. And sometimes it's just the vacuum cleaner that puts you over the edge. Now, Jesus sounds just a little bit frazzled, I thought, in the text that Harry shared with us. He's not super friendly and happy, is he? He's talking about division, and he's calling people, his own followers, he's calling them hypocrites. Now, there's a reason I think that Jesus is a little bit frazzled in this text. This story and the last 2 weeks are all part of what Luke calls the journey to Jerusalem. Jesus is moving from Galilee to Jerusalem over the course of these readings. And he knows when he gets to Jerusalem, he is going to be arrested, and he's going to be executed. So he's very aware that time is short, and he's trying to impart as much to his followers as he can. because he knows his spiritual journey is compelling him to go to Jerusalem. His life's purpose is to lay down his life and pick it up again, to show us how to have abundant life, to draw us closer to God so that we can love God, love one another, love each other, love ourselves. And he only has so much time to do that. He doesn't want us to spend time arguing over the deviled eggs. He wants us to do the work. And he also knew that his life's work would bring division. It would happen, and it did. When the early church was gathering, there was increasing division between the Jews and the Jewish Christians. When Luke wrote his gospel, it was the end of the first century, and there already was a sizable divide between Jewish families and other family members who decided to follow Christ. And on top of that, there was another divide between the Jews and the Christians and the Romans. Now, we knew that Romans liked to feed people to lions, and so for the Christians, the division here could be life and death. But the Christians were on fire. They were so passionate about the things that united them that they continued to grow in number. Dr. John Dixon of Sydney University wrote, "The first few centuries of the church brought together Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, slave and free. They were all united in the conviction that all humanity bears the image of God." They bore the image of a God who was willing to bear the image of man who was willing to die for others. But he also said the slogans, "love your enemies" and "do unto others as you would have them do unto you," were as divisive as they were unifying. Then as time went by, in the 4th century, the Roman Emperor Julian wrote this about the Christians: "It is disgraceful that those impious Galileans would not only support their own poor, but ours as well." Those silly Christians, they were feeding their own, and then if there were Roman families that were hungry, they were feeding them too, and the Romans despised them for that. The Christians were ignited with passion to do the work of Jesus, but it caused divisions. As they grew in their faith, it caused greater divisions in the land around them. Now, one of the greatest divisions of all time occurred in the church in 1517, when a young monk named Martin Luther made a list of 95 things about the church that bugged him and nailed it to the door. He sparked something we call the Reformation. But you know, his family wanted him to be a lawyer, not a monk. And his first division was when he said, "No, I'm not going to be a lawyer. I'm called to be a priest." So he understood the division of father and son. As he followed his heart, he became ordained as a priest and then continued to study. And as he studied biblical studies and theology, he began to look at the church and the Bible, and he saw a big disconnect. And one of the biggest places that he saw that disconnect was in something called indulgences. Indulgences were either tokens or pieces of paper that absolved your sin. They were a get-out-of-hell free card, but they weren't free. If I had kind of a rowdy Saturday night and I was feeling like I'm afraid of hell, I could go to the church and I could give money and they would give me a piece of paper that said my sin was forgiven. And then I would relax because I wouldn't go to hell then. I would know I had a clean slate. The money went straight to the Pope in Rome to build all those beautiful cathedrals that are there now. And Martin Luther hated this. He hated that this was happening. So in number 82 of his list, he called out the Pope, and he said, "Salvation is free. It does not cost anything. It cannot be earned. It cannot be paid for." And he suggested that the Pope, who was already a wealthy man, could afford to build the cathedrals himself. As you can imagine, there was a little bit of division that followed his 95 things that bugged him about the church. The church excommunicated him. Now, in the 16th century, that meant you would be arrested and put to death, generally burned at the stake. Luther avoided all of that, but his actions sparked similar responses and reactions all over Europe. And many people gathered together and left the Catholic Church and formed the Protestant churches. And that's why we are Protestant, right? Because Martin Luther protested. And he was despised for it. When Jesus said, "I have come to bring not peace, but division," we learn that following Jesus will always lead to some kind of division. It just will. It's inevitable. As we continue to grow spiritually, divisions will naturally happen, and they are often very painful. And Jesus points out the most valued relationships the people knew, father and son, mother and daughter. He was letting them know this could happen. If you follow me, you might lose some of the relationships that are the most dear to you. Are you willing to pay that price? Now, you know that this has happened here in this place. You only have to go out into the entrance and look at the pictures of the elders to know that as this church grew in its faith formation to embrace the LGBTQ community and minorities, that there were some folks whose spiritual path did not match up with where our church was, and they chose to divide. And when that happens, it is so painful because we love them and they love us. But we must also know that their spiritual journey is their own, and we have to respect that. And so we release them with blessing and peace to follow their journey as we follow ours. Whenever people are growing spiritually, there will be division. But it should never be about the deviled eggs. It should be about the things that matter. Jesus says, look around at the times. See what's important now and focus on that. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow." That's a division that would hurt. It's like spiritual surgery, right? It hurts, but it's necessary. It's necessary for healing and for life. Now, my own story is another example. I have what I like to say a long and sordid history of leaving not just churches, but entire denominations, because I get to a point where my journey and the beliefs of that denomination don't go together anymore. I've said goodbye more than once, but never over Dirt Devil vacuum cleaners or Starbucks coffee. Now, my longest relationship as an adult Christian was with a missionary church that was very evangelical. And my kids were little at the time, and I grew so much in that church. I read the Bible all the time. I prayed, I fasted, I taught Bible study in Sunday school and kids' ministries and did everything I could do. But at some point, what they were teaching me wasn't lining up with what I was reading in the Bible and what I knew in my spirit. The minister might say, "We take the Bible literally. It's simple. We just read what it says and do it." And then I would pull out my list of 29 scriptures that you cannot take literally. They are not meant to be taken literally. And we would have a back and forth about that, and neither one of us was happy with the other. And eventually, I had to leave. I couldn't stay there anymore. I had outgrown my church. And while I would have been happy to turn around and teach that church what I had learned, apparently my beard was not long enough because they didn't want me to teach. They preferred that I left. So I did. But I'm telling you what, it tore my heart out to leave them. They were my friends. They were my relationships, my social support. They were the people I hung out with on Saturday. They were like family to me. And it was a horrible division, but it was necessary. Because if I hadn't left there, I certainly wouldn't be here. And I did it once before, too, with the Roman Catholic Church when I was only a teenager. And I left there and put a rift between me and my parents. And it was awful. But again, it was necessary. My spiritual formation depended on it. So, of course, the vacuum cleaner and the coffee and the deviled eggs, those are never reasons to divide. But when we're growing spiritually and our growth depends on it, then yes, it does happen. And it can be positive, even if it's painful. So what are our issues today? We know we have mission issues, but we're talking today about the American flag. We're talking about the constitution of our church. We need to look at the current times and ask the questions. How does this conversation inform our spiritual formation? How does our constitution or our practice or our worship service, how does that promote our spiritual growth? And let's look at it with those eyes. The way that Jesus suggests, don't be a hypocrite and complain about, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many things we all complain about. But let's look at what pulls us together. Let's look at the things that are important. Let's look at the present time. Let's look at the things that set us on fire with passion for Jesus, because that's what he's talking about here. He wants us to be set on fire like those early Christians were. The fire that's in the heart, the compassion, the blaze that just causes you to go and do and give and stand up here and talk about missions and sing and pray and visit the sick and all the things that we are called to do as Christians. What are those things that draw us together? Now, I have asked many times what it is that keeps you all here in this church. You know, we've talked about divisions and arguments, but let's talk about unity. What is it that keeps us all here? Why do we keep coming back? And generally, people say the same answers again and again. Mission is always a big one because this is such a giving church. And this is a place where we can get together and do some good together. People will also say history. My parents attended here. My grandparents attended here. I was baptized here, married here. My kids were confirmed here. That history draws us in. But lately, another word has been coming up as I ask this question. And it's relationship. You all love each other. No one told me that when I came here. Of course, the church was closed and there were no people here, so I couldn't get a good read on the relationships, but you love each other. That's why you're here. The relationships bind us all together, and we can follow our spiritual paths together and support one another. Now I want you to take 1 second and look around and find a face that you love and just remind yourself, we're here because we love each other. And then there's one other reason that comes to my mind. We're here because of faith, because we believe there is something greater than us. Religion answers questions for us. It tells us how we got here, why we're here, where we're going when we die, and how do we live a more fulfilling life? I mean, those are the basic questions that religion answers for us. Why we're here in this place? You all have to answer that for yourself. Maybe it's history, maybe it's mission, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's faith, maybe it's something else. So what is it that unites us? What is it that brings you into this place? Let's keep our eyes fixed on that. Amen. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.